Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur continues in the middle of a drosha concerning a pasuk that was cited on Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara had quoted a pasuk from Vayikra Perek Zayin in the anticipation of bringing a proof or a source for on behalf of Rebbe Akiva that a Korban Pesach is to be purchased only from personal funds and not use Meiser Sheni money for that purpose. In citing the Pasuk, though, the Gemara got off, we'll say, on a tangent, insofar as even though the goal is to find a source for Rabbi Kiva for that halacha, nevertheless there are a number of other points in that pasuk that are darshaned. So the Gemara brings you the complete drasha. The point here is that in that pasuk of Vayikra Zayin, a number of korbonos were mentioned. And the point that preoccupies the Gemara is what halacha is learned from each one of the cited sacrifices and its ramifications or implications for other sacrifices. So we started the drosha in our previous shiur, having gone over the oila, the mincha. These were in diamonds, as you will recall from our previous shiur. We highlighted each korban and what it taught with regard to other korbanos. Today's shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, where we continue with this drasha. What does each one of the korbanos cited in that pasuk teach us? So, we continue with the korban chatos. The Gemara says, chatos, ma chatos mikatsha bebolua, just like the chatos creates sanctification with regard to that which is absorbed, af kol mekacho bebolua. So too with all other sacrifices. To explain this a little further, we will take a look in the Rashi. The Rashi Ksav Yad, you'll see this in the 4th wide line under the Gemara. Ma chatos mikadish bolua diim bola basar shlomim mi basar chatos. Let's say some shlomim meat, korban shlomim meat absorbed from through contact with korban chatos meat. Yesh lehem din chatos leochelim v'laylo. The shlomim then takes on the higher standard, that of the chatos, during which you have a more limited time to consume the korban. You have only a day and a night to finish the meat. Like the Gemara says in Psochem, based on the pasuk of Kol Asher Yigab Sora, Yikdosh tells me that that which comes into contact with the chatos then becomes like it. Shim Suva Tifsalem. If the chatos happens to be posel, so then the korban that comes into contact with it will also be rendered unfit. V'im Kshera, if the korban that comes into contact with the chatos is kosher, so then yochu kechomer shebo, then you will eat like the more stringent of the two. So, just like this concept of absorption exists with regard to the chatos, so too with regard to any lighter or lesser form sacrifice coming into contact, a physical contact with a greater or higher level sacrifice, the lower level sacrifice will take on the characteristics and the restrictions of the higher level sacrifice. Continuing, Osham. As you can see, this is in another diamond. These are diamonds, as we mentioned before, are all highlighting the types of korbanos that were cited in the posuk on Pei Beis Amid Beis from Vayikra Zayin. So the Osham is mentioned. What do we learn from the Osham? Ma Oshem Ein Shvir Veshuya Kodosh Boy, the Oshem happens to be a male animal. So just like in the case of an Oshem, the Shvir is the embryo and the Shuya is the mesek that contains an embryo, just like in the case of an Oshem, they are not holy. Well, you can say, of course not, there is never such a case because it's a male animal. So Af Kol Ein Shvir Veshuya Kodosh Boy, so too by other animals, female animals, that may in fact become pregnant, the embryo and the shilya, the placenta, are not sanctified, they're not holy while they are inside the mother. Now, this opinion is a result of the following. Kosavar, this opinion holds, Vlodos Kochim, the offspring, the children, the offspring of sacrifices, Bavyosin Hein Kedoshim, they gain their sanctity only upon birth, but prior to birth, they are not considered sanctified. Vidonin Efsher Mishi Efsher, and we are willing to derive Efsher, that which is possible from that which is impossible, namely to determine the halochas of a female animal from the male Osham. Miluim. Miluim is a reference to sacrifices offered during the consecration of the Mishkan, the dedication of the Mishkan. Ma miluim moisreim besreifa, just like in the case of the miluim, any leftover meat from those sacrifices was to be burnt. V'ein bale chayim moisreim, living animals are not considered moisar. The Rashi points out on the upper part of the page, V'ein moisreim bale chayim, in the case of those sacrifices that were offered on the dedication, at the dedication of the Mishkan, no replacement animals or backup animals were set aside to serve as a guarantee or a backup if anything should happen to the original korban. And as such, so there was never a residual live animal in the context of those sacrifices. Once again, since no backup sacrifices were set aside in the context of the miluim, so we don't find any live animals being residual. So too, so we learn from there that the miluim, the meat of those animals, of the original sacrifices, if they're left over, they're burnt, and there is no bale chayim that are moisreim. Af kol moisreim besreifa, v'ein bale chayim moisreim besreifa. So too by other korbanos, leftover meat of the original, of the basic korban, is to be burnt. However, if a person did set aside two animals, one to serve as his basic sacrifice and the other to serve as a backup for it, and he uses one of them, and the backup animal remains, we do not say that the backup animal is to die. Rather, let us say in the case of a korban chatas, if he set aside two animals, one to serve as his basic korban chatas, and he uses it, and the other one remains, we say the other one is set out to graze until it develops a blemish, and at which time it's then redeemed for the purpose of purchasing other sacrifices. Shlomim. What do we learn from that? Ma shlomim mifaglin umispaglin. Af kol mifaglin umispaglin. We should note that the primary or the source of halachas of pigol are written in the Torah in the context of a korban shlomim. Pigol, just citing one instance of that, is if a person, let us say, sacrifices or he slaughters a korban shlomim, which has a 2-day time period for eating it, and he slaughters it with the intention of eating it on a 3rd day. That's pigol. Let us say he does that, so we say that the korban shlomim is mefagel, the wine offering that is brought with it. It has the strength of ruining also that which accompanies it. That's mefaglin, and mispaglin means that the animal itself, not only does it affect that which is brought along with it, as we just said, it's mefagel, the And sometimes we have wine offerings brought along with sacrifices. Sometimes you have bread offerings brought along with sacrifices. For example, the korban todah. If you slaughter the korban todah with the intention of eating it at the wrong time, so the bread that is brought along with it becomes pigul. And likewise, if a person has the intention of eating the meat beyond its right time, so the animal itself becomes pigul. So we learn from the Shlomim two other korbanos regarding this phenomenon. The pigul affects those things that are brought with the korban, and pigul will affect the korban itself. Continuing in the Gemara, the Masnisa Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva, in a Tanaic source, there is something taught in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Zois HaTorah V'chulei. We have this Pasuk cited by this Tanaic source, and it mentions in the Pasuk Mincha, and it learns, Ma Mincha Mekadeshes B'Boluah, Af Kol Mekadeshes B'Boluah. We had Mekadesh Bluah before under the Chatos heading, but the Braisa teaches this concept of Mekadesh Bluah, that there is sanctification achieved through contact and absorption in the case, and that's learned from the Mincha. So in effect, we have two sources for this particular concept of Kiddush Bluah. The Gemara points out, I need both sources. V'itzdrich l'michtav b'chatos, v'itzdrich l'michtav b'mincha. It's necessary to teach this concept in both cases. Because of Rachmona b'mincha, had I taught the concept of Mekadesh b'bolor only in the case of a mincha, which is a meal offering, it's basically a flour-based sacrifice. Mishum d'rechicha bola. Since it's soft, it's flour, it's soft material, so it's absorbent. Avol chatos emolo. But I would have thought that a korban chatos is different, and it's meat. It's hard. It's a harder material, and hence there's no absorption. The ikos av rachmona bechatos. Had I taught this concept of absorption in the case of a chatos, which is an animal offering, mishum de boser agav de shomein kodir, meat, because it contains fats. There's a penetration ability that exists. The fats cause things to be absorbed further into the substance. Avol mincha emolo, the mincha lacking fats, maybe it doesn't have that same level of absorption. Sricha, therefore, I have to teach this concept of kiddush bibolua in the case of the mincha and the chatos as well. And now we get to what in effect was really the main point of this whole Gemara, was to get to a source for Rabbi Akiva that the Korban Pesach comes only from Chulin. And the Korban Pesach is essentially a Korban that one is obligated to bring. So what's the basis for that? For a Korban that one is obligated to bring, that it must come from Chulin, from non-holy fronds, specifically from not from Meiser Sheni money. Meiser Sheni being an obligation that pre-exists on the individual. So he can't use these funds to, he can't use one form of obligation where he's obligated to take Meiser Sheni money and eat that in Yerushalayim. He can't use that to fulfill another obligation. So this business, or this point of learning obligations must come from chulin, is learned from chatos. Ma chatos eino bo elo min hachulin u bayom u yodo hayemonis, just like the korban chatos must come from chulin. And the Gemara will clarify this in another two lines. How do you know that by the chatos? But nevertheless, just like the chatos comes only from personal funds, and it's brought only by day, and it's processed with the Kohen's right hand. In other words, the sprinkling of the blood is done with his right hand. Af kol eino bo elo min hachulin. So to all other sacrifices, including the Korban Pesach, that are all other obligatory sacrifices, come only from chulin uvayom. The Gemara asks, "V'chatas gufa min olon." The chatas itself. How do you know that it must come from chulin? Omer Rav Chisda, the Omer Kro, v'hikriv aroin es par hachatos asher loy. This is an obligatory sacrifice that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur, and the word in this pasuk is lo. It's where it says asher lo. That is his, meaning mi shel lo, from his personal holdings, velo mishel meiser, and not from meiser funds. There's another girsa that adds over here, velo mishel tzibor, velo mishel meiser, meaning not from public funds either, and not from meiser money, not from the tithe money that he is supposed to use to eat in Yerushalayim, but rather from chulin, for personal funds only. The Gemara now asks, regarding points 2 and 3 that were listed under the chatos, the Gemara asks, Bayom, do I really learn the concept of sacrifices being processed by day from the chatos? Rather, mi bayom tzavoysoi nafka. It's learned from another source. So the Gemara answers, kedi naspa. In fact, that it was brought from this, from bayom, was learned from chatos over here, is really for naught. It doesn't need to be stated, because in fact, it is learned from a separate source. Question along the same lines, biyodo hayimonis, am I learning that the korban is processed with his right hand from korban chatos? Mi de rabo barbachana nafka. I learn it from Rabbo's teaching. The omer rabo barbachana omer ishlokish komokim shneimar etzba ukahuna eino elo yamin. He says that wherever you see in the posuk the word etzba and kahuna, that teaches me that things must be done with the right hand, and therefore I learn from there, from his rule, and not from the expression chatos that appears over here. So the Gemara answers, kedi naspa. Once again, point 3 regarding the yodo hayimonis is really not learned from chatos in this pasuk in Vayikra Zayin. Osham. Ma osham atzmoisav mutarim. What do I learn from the osham? Well, we say, just like by the korban osham, the bones of that sacrifice are mutar, meaning they, after you offer the sacrifice, you sprinkle the blood and offer the innards on the altar, the bones themselves are mutar, are allowed for your personal use. You can use the bones to fashion different types of vessels for your personal benefit. So af kol, so too by other sacrifices as well, atzmoisav mutarin. It's pointed out, by the way, we're talking about bones that don't have any marrow, because the marrow of bones is considered basar, it's considered meat. V'Rebbe Akiva. The Gemara now turns to Rebbe Akiva, who learned Dovar Shebechova is learned from Chatos in Vayikra Zayin. What does Rebbe Akiva do with the posuk of Hai Vizavachto Pesach that was quoted in the Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis Omid Aleph? And that was the source. That pasuk itself served as a source in the Mishnah for this concept of Pesach coming from Chulin. What does Rabbi Kiva, who has his alternative source, namely Chatos, what does he do with the pasuk that the Mishnah quoted? That's my Ovid Lei. What does he learn from that? Answer, Miboy Lei lich Rav Nachman. He uses it for Rav Nachman's teaching. The Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rabbo Barvua, Minayin Lemoiser HaPesach Shekorev Shlomim. From where do you know that if you have something that was dedicated for a Korban Pesach and it was not used, that it is to be used as a Korban Shlomim, it's to be offered as a Shlomim sacrifice? Shenemar, that's learned from this posuk, Vizavachto Pesach Lashem Elokecho Tzoin Ubokar. Now if you look at this posuk literally, it says that you'll offer the Pesach from sheep and from cattle. V'halo ein Pesach bo elo min hakvosim umin oizim. But we know that a Pesach does not come from bokar, from cattle. It comes only from Tzon. Tzon is a term including sheep and goats. Elo, Moiser HaPesach, what this Pasuk tells me is that which is left over, that which was not used as it was, originally dedicated for a Pesach, but rather it was left over, Yehei Ledover Habo Min HaTzon U Min HaBokar. It shall be used for something that otherwise could be brought as from Tzon or Bokar. That's a Korban Shlomim. It's known that a Korban Shlomim can be brought from cattle and from sheep and goats as well. So this pasuk that specifies the Korban Pesach, it's telling us that which you did not use as the Korban Pesach, it was Moser Pesach. Whatever happened, the Gemara will cite a couple of examples, but whatever happened, it was something that had been dedicated or anticipated to be used as a Korban Pesach and was not used. It becomes Mosar Pesach and is therefore to be brought as a Korban Shlomim. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that accompanies this sukya, and you'll see that in the outside margin under the Nosei, the topic heading. Mekoros, we've written Mekoros, sources de Moser Pesach, Korev Shlomim, that which was left over or not used as originally dedicated for a Pesach, it shall be brought as a Korban Shlomim. You'll notice that we have a little one that appeared opposite the second line from the top of the Gemara. As you skim down the right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice that we have numbered up till 3. In the course of this Gemara, there will be 3 sources for this same idea. The Gemara will then have to deal with why do I have 3 psukim that seem to teach me the same thing. Continuing in the Gemara asks, "V'ha mehocha nafka?" This concept of Moser Pesach coming as a Shlomim, is it really learned from over here, from Devarim Tazayin? Midavua deShmuel nafka. I learn it from his teaching. Tichtiv ve'im min hatzon korbano lezevach Shlomim. That's a pasuk in Vayikra Gimel. The Omar Avua deShmuel, Dovar habo min hatzoin. That which comes from Tzon only. That's a reference or a hint to a Korban Pesach. So it tells me that which is designated as a Korban Pesach, Yehei Lezevach Shlomim. If you do not use it as a Korban Pesach, then it shall convert into a Shlomim sacrifice. So we seem to have a second source for that point that Moser Pesach comes as Shlomim. Question, Va'akati mehocha nafka? Akati means but still. Do we, from here, is that learned? Mehosam nafka. There's a third source for that point. Veha tanya. The brisa begins here. You can see we have a framed section in the Gemara markings. That which appears in a frame is a Tanaic source. It opens up with a word from a posuk in Vayikra, Perik Gimel, posuk Zayin. The posuk is quoted on the inside margin of our marked Gemaras. You can see we've written in Vayikra Gimel Posuk Zayin, and we've indicated this is in the context of a Korban Shlomim. It says, Im kesev hu makriv es korbano v'kriv oisoi lifnei Hashem. So the Brisa darshins the word keves, and it's pointed out that it's really an extra word in the sense that you don't... The idea of a sheep being brought as a Korban Shlomim is already understood. So why does the Torah specify it? So it's there for a drosha. L'rabois es ha-pesach la'alya. It's coming to tell me that the Korban Pesach, if you bring it as a sheep, its tail, the alya is the sheep's tail, sometimes called the fat tail, is offered on the Mizbeach. Kishomer im keves. This expression that the pasuk said im keves lahavi pesach sheovro shnosoi, it comes to include a pesach whose year passed, namely it's over a year old and hence not suitable as a pesach anymore. Korban pesach is an animal that has not is younger or has not aged more than 1 year. It's not over a year old. So the pasuk of Im Keves tells me it comes to include a Pesach Shofar Shnasai Ushlomim Haboim Machmas Pesach. Shlomim Haboim Machmas Pesach is Mosar Pesach. L'chol Mitzvahs Shlomim, that these cases are to be treated as a full-fledged korban shlomim. Shiit anu, that they require smicha, the hands placing on its head, unesachim, and the accompanying wine offering, utnufas chazav ashok, and the waving of the chazav ashok limbs. Kishu omer v'im eiz, in posuk yud beiz, you see that expression, hifsik ho'inyan, it's a break in the trend of thought. In what sense is there a break? Limeid al ho'ez she'eno tu'una alya. This teaches me that when an ez, a goat, is offered, it's as a korban pesach, so the goat offering does not require the tail, the goat's tail, to be offered. In this drosha, we see that im kesev, or im keves, comes to include the mosar pesach, is treated as a shlomim. That would then represent a third source for the same point. Tlosa kroi ksiv. So the Gemara points out there, in fact, are three psukim. Chad, one of them, is la'ovro zmanoi, v'ovro shnosoi. That covers a case where the 14th of Nisan passed, that's ovar zmanoi, and it's also over a year old. So you have an animal that before Pesach, it was still under a year old, but by the time Pesach passed by, by the time the 14th of Nisan passed by, so it also went over a year. That's one case. Fechad, another posuk, is la'ovro zmanoi v'la'ovro shnaso. This deals with the case of an animal that was set aside to be a Pesach before the 14th of Nisan, but it was not used. The 14th of Nisan passed by, and yet it was still within a year old. It was still a young animal. And that, too, is treated as a Mosar Pesach, and becomes a Shlomim. And V'chad, the third scenario, is L'loi Ovro Zmanoi, V'loi Ovro Shnasoi. If you have an animal that you set aside to be a Korban Pesach in anticipation of the 14th of Nisan, 14th of Nisan has not arrived, and it's still, the animal as well is still young. The Rashi gives an example for this. Lo ovro zmano v'lo shnoso. Rashi says, kegoin she'ovad koidem chatzos. If you had an animal set aside as your korban pesach, and it got lost before midday of the 14th of Nisan. V'hifrish achir tachtoven. He set aside another animal to replace it. V'nimso. And then the original one was found. De'im rotza l'shech de koidem chatzos. Korev shlomim. If he wants to slaughter it before midday. In other words, this whole scenario happened before midday. Namely, it got lost and was then found on the 14th of Nisan. But when it got lost, he had set aside a replacement animal. And now the owner of this now newly found original Korban Pesach wants to slaughter it before midday. He can do it. He can slaughter it and treat it as a Korban Shlomim. So that's the case of lo ovar zmano velo shnosoi. And now the Gemara says why I need to be taught or filled in regarding each scenario. Utsrichi, I need each case. De'i ashminan, had I taught you only ovro zmano v'ovro shnoso, that it becomes a shlomim, mishum de'idchi le'legamri, because it's completely cast away, pushed away from the realm of a korban pesach. Not only did the 14th of Nisan go by, but it now is over a year old, so there's no chance of it having any connection to its original identity as a Korban Pesach. Therefore, it converts into being a Korban Shlomim. Avol, Ovro Zmanoi V'lo Ovro Shnosoi. Let's say you have an animal that the 14th of Nisan went by, but it's still under a year old. Dechozi L'Pesach Sheni. It is fit to be used as a Pesach Sheni sacrifice. Pesach Sheni is a special allowance made for people who were unable to fulfill their Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. Within the next month, namely by the next month, the 14th of Iyar, they have a second chance, so to speak. That's Pesach Sheni. So this case of Ovros Manoi, where the 14th of Nisan went by, but it's still under a year old, and it therefore has its fit, in theory, to be brought as a Pesach Sheni, Emolo, I would have thought that it is not to be offered as a Korban Shlomim. Therefore, I have to tell you a second source that even in that case, if the owner of this animal that was Ovar Zman of Lover Shnoso wants to use it as a Shlomim, he has that ability. The Ashmin Ovar Zman of Lover Shnoso, if I would have taught you that case, that it becomes a Shlomim, the Idchi Lei Mipesach Rishon, because it has been pushed away from Pesach Rishon, because that's a case where the 14th of Nisan has gone by. Avolo Ovro Zman of Lover Shnosoi, an animal that was set aside as a Korban Pesach, and you're now dealing with a time where it was, as we said before in our in Rashi's illustration, it was found on Erev Pesach after having been lost, and it was found before Chatzos, so its time hasn't passed, because the time for offering a Korban Pesach is in the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, and here we're talking it being found before Chatzos, so it's not Ovar Zmano and not Ovar Shnoso. Da'afilu Pesach Rishona Michozi, it in fact is fit to be offered as a Korban Pesach. If you just wait another couple hours till you get to the afternoon, it would be offered or could be offered as a Korban Pesach. So Emo Lo, I would have thought that to shecht it as a Shlomim in the morning would be out of bounds. You wouldn't be allowed to do that. Sricha, therefore, we have the third source to indicate that even in that case, if the owner had set aside a replacement animal for his Korban Pesach, and he intends to use the replacement one for that, this one he can shecht before Chatzos as a Korban Shlomim. We now proceed to the next perek. Kol Korbonos Atzibor V'Hayochid, all the meal offerings that are public and private, Boin Min Horetz V'Chus Horetz, they come from flour, wheat grown in Eretz Yisrael, and it can come from grains grown in the diaspora outside of Eretz Yisrael. Min hachadosh u'min hayoshan, it can come from the new year's grains and from old grains from previous years. Chutz min oimer u'shteh lechem, with the exception of these two korbonos, the oimer and the shteh lechem, she'enon boyen elo min hachadosh u'min ha'aretz. They must come from grains grown in Eretz Yisrael, and they must come from the new grains of this year. V'kulan einon boyin elo min hamuvchar. All of these korbanos must come from choice flour. V'ezo muvchar she lohem. What's considered the muvchar? What area of agriculture, of grain development, produces the choicest flour? So the Mishnah mentions places, Machnis Vizatcha. These are place names. Alpha Lasolis. Alpha, like the word, or the letter Aleph, the first. It's like number one. Number one for the Solis, for the producing of the flour. Shnia Lohen Afurayim Bibika. The second quality, you know, next in level, is grains that come from a place called Afurayim in the valley. Kol ha'arotzus ha'yuksheros, all the different regions of Eretz Yisrael are suitable for bringing flour from them. Elo mikan hoyu mivien. However, from these places they opted to bring because they produce the choicest quality. Before going further, we have a topic heading in the outside margin, under the no say heading. Tano de lo kemishna seinu, we are going to see a Tanaic source unlike our Mishnah. The Omer Shtei Alechem Yechulim Lavo Min Hayoshan, that the Omer and Shtei Alechem offerings can come from grains that were from last year, from the previous year. Masnisen the Lo Ki Hai Tana. Our Mishnah is not like the following. So our Mishnah emphasized that the Omer and the Shtei Alechem must come from the new grains. So the source says Omer Habo Min Hayoshan Kosher. Both of these are acceptable if they come from Yoshan. Elo shechiser mitzvah. only that they are lacking in the best way to fulfill it. That's what missing a mitzvah means. That it could have been done better, but nevertheless, it's okay if you bring from the Yoshan. Omer, dechtiv, takriv es minchas bikurecha. The pasuk says, you shall, by the korban omer, it says, you shall offer your minchas bikurecha, and we learn ve'afilu min ha'aliyo, even from grains that are in storage, meaning from the old grains that are in storage. Aliyah literally is an attic, it's a storage area, as opposed to new grains that are not in storage yet. Shtei halechem, dichtiv, mimoshvosechem toviu. That pasuk tells me, v'lo min chutzolaretz. You shall bring from grains from where you dwell, and not from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Mi moshvo sechem, vafilu min hoaliyo. From where you dwell is what moshvo sechem means, and even from your attics, from your storage areas, meaning from old grains. The Gemara asks, how can you darshan the same word twice? We just said, mi moshvo sechem tells me, velo min chutzlaretz. How can you then go and say that the same word teaches me from even from the Aliyah? Ha afikte, the Gemara asks, but did you not already derive from it, not to bring from Chutz La'aretz? Omar Kra, the Pasuk happens to say Toviu. It's that word that from which we darshan vafilu min ha'aliyah. The word Toviu is an extra word. The Pasuk didn't have to use that word. Its appearance in the pasuk comes to include even from the aliyah. The Gemara asks, "V'hai mi boya le? I need tovu for a separate teaching." Shikol shato mevi mimokom acher harei hu kozeh. This pasuk of tovu, which is in the context of the shtei alechem was a chometz korban. The shtei alechem was made of two loaves, each loaf containing an isaron. An isaron is a quantity of flour. Is it not so that I use the word toviu to tell me, shech kol shata mevi mimokom acher, that means any other chometz loaf offering, and that happens to be the case in the korban todah, one of the types of loaves that constituted the korban todah were chometz loaves. So the chometz shebetodah, hare hu kozeh, is to be like the shtei halechem, meaning an isaron per loaf. So the word toviu in the context of shtei halechem teaches me concerning the lachmei todah, and it's not available to teach me even from the storage, namely to include even old grains. So the Gemara answers, Im kein, lichtoiv kra tovi. If the pasuk is teaching me only one thing, then it could have written tovi, my toviu. What is the expansion of that pasuk into the word toviu teaching me? Shma mino, tarti, it tells me both points, namely, even from aliyah and the chometz shebetoida. Question. How can you say that it comes from old grains? V'hoksiv reishis. Doesn't the pasuk say first, meaning the new grains? That more answers the mitzvah. That's only a more desirable way of fulfilling, but it's not binding. Question. Hoksiv chadosha. Does it not say new grains? So the Gemara answers, hi, mi boyale lich v'sanyo. I need it for the following teaching. Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yankiv, Omru, Shtei Alechem HaBois Min HaYoshen Ksheros. Like we said before, there are Tanoim that hold that Shtei Alechem can come from previous year's grains. Umar Mekayim Chadosha, what does this word then mean in the context of the Shtei Alechem? Answer, Shtei Chadosha L'chol HaMenochos. Let's glance at the Rashi. Shtei Chadosha L'chol HaMenochos, Klomar, Shiaviu shtei halechem kodem shiaviu shum mincha min hachodosh. One has to make sure that if he wants to use new grains as a korban mincha on a given year, you are allowed to do that, but that's provided after you brought the shtei halechem offering. Avol shtei halechem gufayu, but the shtei halechem themselves, maybe you'll say ironically, but that korban itself, bois afilu min hayoshan, that can come from grains from a previous year. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.